For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you today, especially good to be with those of you getting baptized today. So thrilled for you that we get to celebrate baptism as a church. As many of you know, we're studying the book of Ephesians. We're in week 7, and this week we're studying Ephesians 5. And I just got to tell you, as I dug into this scripture today, this week, the weeks leading up to this, it hit me hard. It hit me square between the eyes with some real truth about myself. And I love it when scripture does that. When you read it, it shines a light on something you wouldn't have necessarily otherwise seen, and it did that for me. And what I've realized is that for me, I've got some core identity issues going on. I'm really struggling at times to believe the truth about who I am in Jesus. Even though we spent all this time in Ephesians and it's been all about our identity in Jesus, even though I've walked as a Christian for a long time, I still struggle to fully embrace all the truth that Jesus says about me. What I've come to notice is that I've got these records spinning in my head, and these records are full of all kinds of junk from my past. And if you're not familiar with records, let me just give you an example of what this is. Some of you have only listened to music on an iPhone, so this is what a record looks like. Some of you may have owned a record player. That will date you. There are these big black discs, and on them is imprinted music. And once you imprint music on this, it forever, if you put a needle to it, will speak that sound out. It will shoot that sound out. And I've got records spinning in my head. Now, I chose this record. This is AC/DC's Back in Black. Some of you may have heard this. Back in Black, right? Rocking album. I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm not promoting AC/DC. The reason I picked this particular album is because of the title, Back in Black. And that's what my records in my head, they spin and drag me back into the darkness, speaking lies and all kinds of junk to me. You see, imprinted on my records that spin in my head aren't my greatest hits, but a lot of my greatest failures, words of death spoken over me, discouragement, haters confirming all the negative things about me. Like, that stuff gets laid down on tracks that just spin over and over. You see, I had a really rough decade between the ages of like 15 and 24. And in that season, I didn't do adolescence well. I didn't do teenage years well. I didn't do young adulthood well. I was just struggling through that whole season of my life. I got into drugs, alcohol. I was just a terrible student. Underneath it all, I was very hurting, confused, just lost guy in need of a lot of love. And instead of people, you know, pushing through that facade of that angry, love-starved young man, I a lot of people lashed out at me, and I can still remember to this day some of the things that were said to me. And it got imprinted on that record. My uncle pulled me aside one day, and he said to me, "What's going on with you, Joel?" And I really looked up to him, and he just said to me, "You know, if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to be lucky if you can hold down a job flipping burgers when you get older. You're going to be a total failure." You know, he thinks he's helping me, right? Instead, on my record, just goes, "Joel, you are a loser." Had a football coach say to me, "Joel, hey, son, you don't have the heart to play for Appleton West." I think he's trying to motivate me, so I showed him. I quit. All right, and so on my heart just went, "Joel Zeiner, quitter." And I had a lot of Now, my parents in some ways distanced themselves from me in the season because I was a very difficult, kind of emotionally explosive teenager. So rather than push in through that, they kind of backed off and didn't press into what was going on with me. And I don't blame them. I was a pretty toxic guy. But I wish they would have. I wish they would have pressed through that because I needed them during that season. And what that spoke to me was, Joel, you're too much. You're just too much to deal with. You're not worth pressing into. And on that record, that went. And so through that season and many other things during that time of my life, my record got filled with messages like, Joel, you are a loser. You're a quitter. Nobody likes you. You're never going to make a meaningful contribution at all to this world. So keep the bar low for yourself. Right down here. Don't expect much from yourself. That's what was spinning in the back of my head. That was a season that was a long time ago. And by the grace of God, he pulled me out of that. Set me on solid ground, but that record's still spinning, and it still says things to me like, Joel, who do you think you are? You can stand up in front of a group of people and preach God's word. That just creeps in going, where's that coming from? That darkness has been spoken over me, and what I've realized with this text is I need to be constantly reminded, and so do you, of who we are in Jesus Christ, the truth about who we are at our corest identity, because without that, that record just keeps spinning and dragging us back into the darkness, and that's what this text is about this week. You might have missed it when it was read right away. It starts out with this beautiful verse, this declaration about identity and who we truly are. And I want to start there. We're just going to go through five verses today, and we're going to see what the truth is about who we are in Jesus Christ. Okay, listen to this first verse, okay? It's about who we are at our truest self. It says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as a child of the light. For you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Live as a child of the light." Now, some might want to say this is a command. It's just another thing I got to do. Like, I got to buckle down and live as a child of light, right? So I want to encourage you, don't hear a command here, okay? Hear an invitation, okay? This is a declaration of freedom and an invitation to an embrace and identity of who you truly are and what you truly are as a child of light. All of us have a past, right? All of us have a record spinning in the back of our head that just says you're not worthy. People have spoken death into your life, things where you just believe the negative. We all have some of that. And what this says is that you were once darkness. Yeah, you have a past, but you are no longer defined by that. That's not the truest thing of you anymore. What's true of you is that you're a light in Jesus Christ, and that replaces that old identity. So you're no longer defined by the darkness of your past. You don't have to hang on to that the way that you used to. This means, now understand this, that you are capable as a human being because of the light of Jesus Christ to shine light into the darkness, to bring life, to bring healing and hope to a very hurting world. You are capable of that no matter what your past says about you. That is our truest identity in Jesus Christ. And that's what this scripture is proclaiming to us today. And that's what Paul wants us to remember, to let your light shine. And what he does then through the rest of the scripture is he outlines three things that the light of Christ does in and through our hearts, okay? And those three things are this, and we're just going to go through the scripture. This is just what scripture says, so we're going to preach it, and we're going to believe it. The light of Christ, the three specific things the light of Christ does in and through us is the light produces good fruit. The light enables us to discern what is pleasing to God, and the light exposes that which is evil. And we're able to do all these things. We're going to look at them one by one. Let's look at that first one. The first thing the light of Christ does in and through us is produce good fruit. Now think about what fruit symbolizes, right, in life. Fruit is life. It is good. It is sweet. It is this life-giving thing that we're able to produce. Like we're, as Christians, our light's able to actually grow life, bring life to people in the form of good fruit. And he says there's three forms of fruit. That's what's good, right, and true. And so think of these all in relational terms. So these are all meant for us to think about how we relate to one another. And so by goodness, the connotation of this word in the Greek is a generosity toward others, a generosity of spirit, that we have this light, that we don't just keep this light with us, we shine it out to other people, and we give it away generously to other people. By right, it means not just right by the law, like you're a righteous, law-abiding person. It's that you treat people rightly, the way they ought to be treated. Like, that's what we're to do with people. And by truth, it means we're forthright with one another. Like, we tell people the truth about who they are, and we shine positive, honest light into people's life in the kindest ways that we know how. We are capable of providing light to people. We're fruit to people. Okay? Have you ever been around somebody who just, you're just like, man, that, whenever I'm around them, like, I just feel alive. Like, that person's, they just bring light and life into my life. You ever have somebody from your past that's spoken a word of life into you? See, all of us have a bunch of old records, right, that speak, that are just full of negative stuff. I got a small collection, and it's not as big as my dark ones, but I got a small collection of records that have really, really positive things on them. One of them was, for me, when I was a sophomore in high school, just struggling, I had a teacher come up to me. His name was Mr. Wildermuth at Appleton West. And Mr. Wildermuth noticed something in me. He said, Joel, I don't know what's going on with you, but I know you're far more intelligent than your grades reflect. So I don't know what's getting in the way of this, but I know there's more into you. I believe in you. And he said this to me. In a time when everybody was speaking darkness into my life and my life was just going down the tank, somebody saw through all of it and said something to me. I still hold on to that word today. That still speaks life to me. And then that same guy said it to my mother. My mother needed a word in this time. She's like, Joel, guess what this teacher said? She was filled with hope. And so he came and he spoke light into darkness. His good fruit bore itself in my life. And today I still hold on to that. I still cling to that and believe that man. Right? You ever had a word of life spoken to you? You remember what's on that disc? Hey, we need to do that for each other. The easiest way to produce good fruit is the way we talk to one another. Right? You can so easily give a word of encouragement to somebody. All you got to do is look at them and go, hey, I know this about you. It's true. I believe this about you. Right? And the Bible says we should do this daily. Like we hold on to this. Like we withhold this so easily. Every day it says, listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, and it still is today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because the darkness will pull us away. We need words of encouragement from each other. That's fruit, that's life, that's light that we can give to one another. So let's encourage each other daily. And we're capable of producing that good fruit. The second thing the light of Christ does in and through us is help us discern what is pleasing to God. This is interesting. So we're able to actually kind of tell right from wrong with this, right? So the Bible says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You might think, I'll just read the Bible. Well, that's where you start. But the Bible, if you've read, and a lot of us have read through this, it doesn't speak exactly clearly of what, how to deal with every situation, how to think of every situation, right? There's gray areas. Right and wrong is not always black and white, and so you got to sometimes go, okay, what do I do with that? And what does that mean for me personally? And there's a lot of questions that we encounter that we don't always have direct biblical answers to. So what do you do? Well, the light of Christ helps us discern right from wrong, especially as it relates to us specifically. Let me give you a couple examples that we'll all have at some point probably wrestle with or wrestled with. If you're dating, right, what's an appropriate boundary physically for you and your partner? Right? Bible's pretty clear, having a sexual relationship safe for marriage. Outside of that, you got to go, what's okay for us? Right? You got to wrestle with that for you and your partner. What about parents disciplining your children? Like the Bible gives you some idea, but it's not crystal clear on how you're supposed to do that. Another one, right? The internet wasn't around in the time of the Bible. This is pretty new. So how are we supposed, what kind of relationship should we have with the internet, especially social media? So for you, like creating content or responding to content, like what's appropriate for us, right? The Bible says the light of Christ will help us discern. And it's not just you, okay? So when discernment, the way it works is three ways. First, you look to the Bible for wisdom. Second, take it to God in prayer and just go, God, for me, as a follower of you, what's appropriate for me? And third, once you get an idea, run it by some more seasoned believers and see what they say. So for example, you might ask, okay, so what is appropriate for me in social media? And you bring that to God in prayer. And you might discern that for you, you're addicted to social media and you need to actually just get rid of your Facebook account and not engage with social media at all because you know that that is an idol for you. Excuse me. Others of you might actually hear from God that you need to be on social media more. Because on Facebook, you've got all these friends, all these people that you can reach out to and encourage. So it's good for you to get on there. You got something to say, so you should go say it. And so the light of Christ, what it does is help us discern, for us especially, what is pleasing to God. And then you can also help other people discern that. So people will come to you and you can let your light shine into their life. And that's how, as a church, we try to figure out how to live this life as believers. And God will speak in and through us through the light of Christ. Very powerful thing. That's the wisdom of Christ given to us through the light of Jesus. Okay, the third thing that the light of Christ does in and through us is expose that which is evil. And so what does that mean? All right, so this is what the scripture says. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. All right, so Paul begins this verse by echoing verse 7. And calling back to fruit, he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So if light produces good fruit, then darkness, which is defined by the absence of light, cannot produce any fruit. And he says, so have no part of that stuff at all. Just avoid that. And we should know, and this is what it's saying, as Christians who understand, because the light of Christ helps us discern what is pleasing to God, we should be able to tell what is fruitful and unfruitful. And so we're to avoid the unfruitful. That's what he says to us. And then he says this, with equal weight, he tells us that we should expose the works of darkness. Now, that's an interesting thing to be told what to do. So we are to expose the works of darkness. So what does that mean? The word expose has a very important definition and usage. It has kind of a specific thing he's getting at. And so notice what he says. He says, expose the unfruitful works of darkness. He does not say condemn the people who do evil. The light of Christ is meant for us to shine it into darkness, not condemn other people, okay? So like, you ever meet Bullhorn guy? Like every weekend there's a guy downtown I hear Appleton just shouting out, hey, all you Christians who are going into bars are going to hell. Unless you accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Like maybe that's true, but that is not shining a light because people are so turned off by that. It's so condemning. Nobody listens to that guy. Nobody likes that guy. That's not shining a light. Okay, when we're supposed to shine a light, he commands us to expose the works of evil, not condemn people. Let me give you another example of what this looks like in action. There's a ministry here at Christ the Rock called This One's for the Girls. It's this incredible ministry where these women from our church are shining a light into the sex industry. And so what they do is a group of ladies go into strip clubs with the intention of showing kindness through just acts of love and presence. And they're shining a light into the darkness of the sex industry. And so they're there with the hope of starting a relationship with women so that they might introduce them to Jesus, who can shine a greater light into the hopelessness of that situation. Even more than that, they're just trying to say to those women, there is hope, there's a better life. Like, they're just available for these women because these women need to be loved. And they've been doing this for years. And so they're shining a light into the sex industry. Notice what they don't do. Okay, they don't stand out in the parking lot before they go in to minister with signs that say, men are pigs, shame on you for going in here, so that all the men are sufficiently shamed when they go in there, and then they go minister to the women. And they never shame the women involved with this either, because these women are wise enough to know that shame is not the same thing as shining a light. Okay, shaming people doesn't lead to a light being shined into their world. And so they know that that's not, that they cannot shame these women or these men if they're ever going to shine their light. And that's what this ministry is all about. So all of us can take our light, shine into a dark place without condemning people and just expose things for what they are. And the result of that, of our willingness to just love and shine our light into the darkness, listen to the result of this. The scripture goes on to say, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that is visible is light. What that means is that when the light exposes the deeds of darkness and does not condemn the person, the light of Christ can turn darkness into light. So you take that dark thing, bring it into the light. That means the light of Christ can rescue us from our darkness, can rescue people from darkness. And here's what I know about darkness. And you know this too, because most of us have firsthand experience with this. Right? Darkness, I've never met a happy alcoholic. I've never met a happy workaholic, sex addict. Never met a happy gossip. Never heard anybody flaunt an eating disorder or brag about their depression and thoughts of suicide. Nobody does that because darkness by nature wants it hidden. Darkness says to us, don't ever let anybody know that you're dealing with this. Don't ever let that get dragged into the light because you will be shamed. You will be shunned. You will be pushed out. There's no hope in the light for you. It'll just drag us down into the darkness. And what happens is we become addicted. And we convince ourselves that this actually works for us. Like we just can't picture life without whatever that darkness, whatever that thing in our life is. And what happens is it slowly kills us. And so year after year, decade after decade sometimes, that thing just drags us further into the darkness where it kills us. That's the goal of darkness. Now, I've had the privilege as a pastor of hearing testimony after testimony after testimony of people who are on the other side of recovery, where light was shined into the darkness of their life and they found recovery, okay? Awesome stories, like alcoholics freed from their alcoholism, sex addicts freed from that, people on the brink of suicide brought back to hope in Jesus, living a fully functional life. Not only are those examples, but less extreme ones, like people dealing with unforgiveness and bitterness and rage, like people that light was shined on those character issues and they were brought into the light and they're free. And to the person, every single one of them says the same thing. Thank God somebody shined light into that darkness because I am free from that. Nobody ever says, man, I wish that I was just still in my darkness. I wish I was still dragging that old garbage around. I wish that was still part of my life. Nobody says that because everybody who's in the light is glad to be in the light. Every single person, because the light is so life-giving, it gives us so much freedom. And I know from personal experience, on multiple occasions in my life, the light has been shined into dark corners. And what happened 4 years ago? And I hesitate to share it because it's a little embarrassing as such a grown man in ministry that this still happens. But I was working here at Christ the Rock about 4 years ago, and I had a conflict with a coworker. And the way I responded revealed something about my character, not just a one-time thing, but an underlying character issue that if I didn't deal with it, threatened my ability to lead as a godly man. And so all of us at Christ the Rock have coaches. We have a coach and a supervisor. And my coach is a lady named Deb Richards. And Deb Richards is a wonderful lady and a straight shooter. And in coaching one day, she sat down, looked me in the eye and said, Joel, you need to deal with this now. And how you respond to this is going to affect your fitness for employment here. Your job's on the line, Joel, okay? And then Deb, along with a lady named Lynn Paba, both women I have tremendous respect for, outlined a growth plan for me that included counseling, mediation, conflict resolution with this other person, and then moving my office, which I had a great office, and they didn't even ask me to just move my office to another part of the building because that was part of the deal. Did I like it? No. At the time, uh-uh. I was pretty mad, especially when I found my office moving out again. I'm like, what? And here, because there's two sides to a conflict, I'm thinking, like, come on. Like, why are you shining a light on my side, not the other side more, right? Like, come on. You know what they said to me? Joel, you're a leader. You're the leader. You need to go further, farther. And they said, Joel, if you deal with this thing, you're going to be a better man. You're going to be a better leader. More than that, though, you're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better father. They called the best out of me. They shined a light into that darkness. And so I knew they were trying to love me well, and so I submitted to it. And so I started mediating conflict resolution with this person. I started counseling. And in that counseling, a light was shined into some parts from this old record, this old garbage that was spinning in the back of my head. I had no idea that it was bubbling up in all these ways, especially as it relates to my parents, my relationship with my parents. And then my parents came to counseling with me, helped me walk through some things, and I found freedom. I found light in there, and I was able to deal with some of this character issue. And to this day, I got to say, I'm standing in front of you so incredibly grateful that those two ladies loved me enough to shine light into the darkness. I am so thankful. I just want to ask you to listen to me and trust me with this, okay? If you have darkness in your life today, if you're coming in here and you know what I'm talking about, that there's a darkness that's just been on you, do not be afraid of the light, okay? Please do not be afraid of this light. Do not be afraid of that being dragged into the light and dealt with, okay? Because there's healing, there's freedom, there's goodness in the light, and I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony of this being true. There's freedom in the light. Do not avoid it. Please, please listen to me. Your life can look different. The darkness is lying to you. That is the truth. Now, the scripture ends with a strange but powerful little verse. And if you're watching, if you're looking in your Bible, it's like a poem. It's these three stanzas, it's three lines, and Paul's quoting something in this. And again, we're not exactly sure what it is, but we think it's either an early Christian saying or a hymn. Most likely, it's an early baptismal hymn. And it's this little encapsulation of the truth about the gospel. Listen to what it says. It says, "Therefore, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." That's what it says. So this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Wake up from your darkness. Rise from the death that your darkness is bringing, and let the light of Christ shine on you. And that is the offer to you today. So if you're here today and you're in that darkness, let me just encourage you as strongly as I can to bring that darkness into the light. Come confess your darkness and your need for a Savior today. We will pray with you. There'll be pastors up here at the end of service. Get that stuff into the light. Come forward. Come talk with somebody. We will pray with you. You can get that stuff out of your life. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't waste another minute of your life living in that darkness when freedom awaits you. We will pray with you. We will not condemn you. And we'll help bring freedom. There's so many healing ministries at this church. There's a way out of it. Okay? You can go as far as going right down. You pray with you. You go right out there, get baptized today. Because we're celebrating a baptism today. And this is going to be an exciting thing. So 40, 50 people are going to get baptized at Christ the Rock. And what they're saying is, I'm putting that old life, the death, all those old records are going down into the water. I'm going to pull them out, and they're going to step up into this beautiful light of the day. Let the light shine on them. Let the light of Christ fill them. And they're going to let their light shine. And here's the message I want us. This is the point I want us to all walk away with today, okay? Whether you're getting baptized, especially if you're getting baptized. But to those of us also who have been walking with Jesus for a while, here's what I need you to hear, okay? And this is the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says to all of us, and this is a reminder of what Paul's saying to us today. Jesus says these words to us. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, church, let your light shine before others that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Church, we got to let our light shine. You got to let your light shine. You got to just put these old voices behind you. You got to realize the light of Jesus Christ is inside of you, and you've got to let that shine. We live in a world starving for light, shrouded in darkness, so in need of light. And the only light that they need is the light of Jesus Christ. And as a child of light, you are capable of producing good fruit. You are, because of Jesus. You're capable of discerning what's pleasing to God. And you're capable of shining light into the darkness in life-giving, healthy, godly ways. And so you're a child of light. This is your identity, and all you need to do is embrace it, and the world needs you to embrace it. And so I want to leave you with an image today. It's the way I want you to think of yourself. I want to help you embrace this identity, okay? Does anybody know what this thing is? I call this my happy light. Its purpose is to treat sad, which is seasonal affectiveness disorder. All right? What you do with this little light is, you might notice, as already the days are growing shorter. By the time you get to Christmas, you might notice that your temper is a little shorter and your hope is a little shorter, and you're just not all that pleasant to be around. Well, the happy light's meant to cast this replicate sunlight. We as human beings are so sensitive to light that if we don't get it, it has a physiological negative effect on us. We will die without sunlight. It is a necessity. And so if you're struggling, the doctor will often prescribe you one of these. Now, my parents bought me this for a Christmas present. I'm like, what are you trying to say, guys? What's the deal here? And that was a rough period. And ever since I've had this, I've loved it. And it sits in my man cave, and it shines a bright light right up on me. And anytime I'm in my man cave, in fact, I got a picture of this thing. I'm sitting there, I'm writing the sermon. This sermon, that thing shines on me 3-4 hours a day. I just love this little light because I love to sit in it, and I love the way it makes me feel. This happy light is fantastic. I recommend one for everybody, but here's what I want you to understand. What this light does for me is what we're called to do for the world, okay? And so I'm going to just turn this thing on here. How happy is that? And again, it's not you that shine, it's the light of Jesus shining in you. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to buy everybody one of these lights here today. And just, you just strap that around your neck with a lanyard and you'd be walking. I literally wanted everybody just walking around the rest of the day. Bam, throwing this happy light all over the place. People are like, what are you doing? I'm the light of Jesus. See? Just throwing that light everywhere. Turns out these are kind of pricey, so I'm just going to need you to use your imagination. It was a good gift for my parents. So what I want you to do instead, in all seriousness, church, is for the rest of the week, I just want you to just imagine that this light is on your chest, that you're walking around, and wherever you turn that thing, boom, you're throwing happy light. Just like right over there on you guys, you're getting some of that happy. Wherever you go, though, you're just casting light because you need to get that idea into your head that I am capable of doing this because Christ is in me. So wherever you turn, boom, hey guys, there's some light over there for you. You're just walking around this big old bright shining light. Because if you're like me, you struggle to internalize that this is true about you. And there are things we need to do to just understand that, to embrace it. And this is especially true for you who are getting baptized today. So when you go out there, we're in a minute going to go get baptized. We're going to celebrate a baptism, okay? When you go under, all that death and darkness and this garbage is going down and staying there. When you come up, you're popping up with this thing on your chest. So when you walk out of the water, bam, you're throwing this light out there, okay? I want you to remember that because the world needs it. It's a world starved for light, shrouded in darkness. And it needs not just light, but the light of Jesus Christ. And you got to let your light shine. Church, we got to let our light shine. And it's who we are, and it's what we got to do. And so I'm going to close today, before we get into this, with a benediction, which is more of a declaration. And I'm going to sing for you. I'm going to sing for you a song that we learned as a child, and we often forget as adults. And you can join me, or you can let me sing alone. Don't make me sing alone. Not pretty. Okay, and then I'll pray. This is a declaration. Let's do this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Pray with me, church. Father God, please help us to see that our truest identity is that we're children of you, full of the light of Jesus Christ, and we can shine that into the darkest corners of the world. And a world that really needs it, help us know that that's our identity and give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to shine our light into a dark world. And Lord, to those of you out here, the people that are in this place, that are in darkness and need light shined on them today, give them the courage to step forward and confess that they might put that into the light and let that darkness become light, Lord. Praise to you, Father, for all who are being baptized today. Let them never forget the light that they're shining from their chest. You are worthy of praise. We're going to glorify you, Father. We love you, everybody said. Amen. Now let's listen to some voices of people. This is the story of the people being baptized, and after this, we're going to go celebrate a baptism. So hear these stories of people stepping into the light.
I have always known Jesus as my Savior. Dedicated as a baby in God's love, I have died and am now reborn and baptized in Jesus' Spirit and fully accepting my Father's promise as an adult. For it is by grace that I have been saved through faith, not from myself, but from the gift of God.
I had just lost my great aunt and I was confused and angry. I went home that night and called a friend. I talked to them for hours and shortly after that I started going to church. On Christmas Eve 2017, I accepted Christ as my Savior.
At Ice Blast during worship, I felt very connected and wanted to understand and be more like Jesus.
Jesus Christ, my Heavenly Father, has wrapped his powerful arms around me and has blessed me with the continual wisdom, strength, and encouragement and love to live by his word and bring total peace to my life. I devote my whole life, heart, and soul to my Heavenly Father.
Through the group marriage development, I received Christ and I discovered my brokenness in the healing process of our marriage.
The ways of the world left me broken, hopeless, and wanting to die. God forgave me of my sins through Jesus, showed me the light, and gave me a beautiful brand new life.
I was at Ice Blast and I was sitting in worship in the back of the room by myself. I was full of emotions and my thoughts were all over the place. When I heard the song Oceans play, I just sat and listened to the words of the song. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Then I knew that the Lord was the one I could depend on no matter what. And I knew then that I needed nothing else and I could give myself to the Lord.
This past New Year's Eve, my wife Christy prayed with me and led me in accepting Jesus as my Savior and guiding light. It was an awesome experience.
As my mom slowly dies from cancer, I came to realize that God will always protect her. The signs given to me by God recently have shown me that I am not alone any longer. I have struggled with addiction, and God has given me new life. I am so blessed beyond words and grateful for every day that I am sober and every day that I can call my mom and tell her how much I love her.
Enslaved to alcohol, divorced, broken and desperate, I cried out to Jesus and he delivered me. He gave me life. He is my life. Now I seek to spend that life for his glory.